of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. Wilderness means that which is untamed. Sometimes we're talking about the heart of men and not the physical location. Wilderness is the heart that is disobedient. Wilderness is the heart that does not concentrate on the things that are good, but is continuously pulled one way or another way because of the delight of the eyes. We're going to get into this. But the Lord, it was written, was led by the Spirit. This came right upon his baptism. Now, I wish you to know something, and I don't want there to be any confusion about this in anyone's heart. We speak of the devil in non-specific terms. He's the evil one. All right? But think of the glory that Lucifer beheld. Remember the name Lucifer. Luce in Latin, luce, lucus, means light. Pharos means to bear, iron. Iron is Fe on the periodic table. All right? To bear light. Lucifer saw God in his glory. He saw God who created heaven and earth, who poised the stars and the heavens. He was there for all of this. So now he comes and he sees a baby in a manger in the most incredible place. He goes, no, that can't be. And then when Jesus is an adult, he's baptized. And he hears the voice of God saying, this is my beloved son. No, that can't be. That can't be. So the Spirit led Jesus, the Spirit of God, the one that descended upon him like a dove when he was being baptized, led him into the wild places of man. You know, what's a wild place of man? I don't know, somewhere out in Corona, you know, I know, where they have all the houses where they cook drugs. Or, you know, we used to all go this way to St. Mina's church, past the street called Pedley's, because they're always peddling something. Anyway, the wildness, the Spirit led him there. And he stayed there for 40 days in the same way in which Moses stayed for 40 days, twice, and the prophet also stayed there for 40 days. So then he allowed himself, because Jesus wasn't hungry for 40 days. He wasn't starving for 40 days. His body had not wasted. His body was not dehydrated. There was none of that whatsoever. But at the end of 40 days, he allowed hunger to do its work on him. And then the devil came to him and started to tempt him. And the devil tempted him. Of course, the first thing that anybody who has problems with their stomach, command that these stones are made bread. There's a meditation, and I've heard this from other priests in the monastery, monks actually, that in this place that the stones looked much like our Orban. In other words, it's a flat, round stone, smooth. Command that these be made bread. And then the Lord said, as you have heard, you are not to live in this manner. You are to live after what you have learned and heard from my Father, which is every word that proceeds from his mouth. Okay? You see, Jesus was to undo that which undid Adam. Adam saw that the fruit was good to eat. It was in his wife's hand. And the fathers are not very kind to the wives. They remind us of Job, who in the midst of all of his troubles, his wife's advice to him was, curse God and die. Not very good advice. And there are others. But the point is, what must one do when we are in temptation? And it's to recall the words of God. It's why reading the Bible is so important. If I asked you to give an account of your own Bible reading, what you actually do, how much time you spend a week reading the Bible, I would be amazed if it were an hour. I would be amazed. And that's pathetic, is it not? Is it not pathetic? I was just talking to Anton in the beginning. I wasn't actually talking to him. I was actually yelling at him. But I said, you know, to be a pawn of the devil, that's not so bad. To be a slave to the devil, that's not so bad. To be a slave to some other kingdom or king or ruler, that's not so bad. To be any kind of a slave is not so bad. You're a slave to an electronic device. You are a slave to an electronic device. You get up with the electronic device. You go to bed with the trial. It's with you always. It's sending you signals. It's like the joke that Richard Pryor said about his crack pipe when he was smoking, freebasing. The pipe would say, come on, Richie, it's just you and me. Come on, Richie, smoke some. It's okay. We don't care what other people think. We're beyond that. We're above that. Right? Well, take away the phone from people and just see what kind of paralysis in their lives starts to produce. They won't know what to do. What would you do with time if all electronic media went away? There was nothing, no television, no radio. See, I experienced this. I was in the monastery. I wasn't in the monastery for very long, 6 months. But I was in the monastery, and in the monastery, there's no radio, there's no telephone. Well, there is now, of course. But when I was there, there wasn't. Radio, telephone, television, magazine, newspaper, there was nothing. Except I had the Tezabahab, and I had the book of the Bastano Rabban, the Paradise of the Fathers, and I had the Bible. And boy, did I read a lot. You'd be surprised when you take away all of these other things, how much you read. Well, this will protect you. And Pope Shenouda used to go around with a little marker, right? And he used to write graffiti on the walls of his own monastery. One of the things that he used to write all the time was Rabbeinu Ma'bud, God is here. God is present. God is right here if you will pay attention. God is here. And another thing he would write is, you keep the Psalms, and the Psalms will keep you. He would write these things. Who was he writing them to? He may have been writing them for himself. You know? People that have habits that are good, they constantly remind themselves about the continuation of the habit, preparing for the habit, making everything such that tomorrow it will be in line and I will even do a better job. But the Lord said, with respond to the gluttonous nature of man, you do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then it's written that the devil took Jesus to the holy city and put him on a pinnacle, which was next to the temple. And he said, cast yourself down, because it is written that the angels have charge over you such that you will not even dash your foot against a stone. You'll not even stumble. There's nowhere for you to stumble. This is the charge. This is the charge of vainglory. You know, we want to say who we are. Who are we? Everybody is coming with a little pronouncement. We go to school to get initials after our names. We do all kinds of different things to prove to others that we are worthy to do the job that we've been assigned. Now, the initials after your name do not prove that you are worthy to do the job. They prove that you have been entitled to take such a job. But ultimately, it depends upon your own skill within the education that you've amassed to produce the effect that the person coming to you expects. And not everybody has that. Not everybody has that. Again, I'll pick on Anton. He used to, every single weekend, take his kids at a huge distance into Los Angeles to take violin lessons. How many play the violin now out of the three? Zero. He's holding up his hands with a goose egg. Zero. You can do good things and then turn them into nothing simply because you don't continue with it. There are people that are Christians for a while. They come to the Orthodox Church. They're pilgrims. Almost everyone has come through me at one time or another, because guess what? I'm like you are. I'm a convert. So how long are you going to stay? Well, I only know of a couple of people that have stayed. Out of the many that have come, few have stayed. So it's important when we think about vainglorious statements like I'm this or I'm that, to say that rather it is, and we should say, it is by the power of God and His permission that I am what I am. You do not tempt Him. I am nothing. I am nothing. I have been given a task. If I perform the task well, all I have done is just what anybody who comes to your house and cuts your lawn or empties your trash or does anything like that. It is not more than that. The orthopedic surgeon or the brain surgeon has done nothing more than that. Emptied the trash, cooked a meal, bathed. It's nothing more than that. Does it require more training? Absolutely. Does it require that there's diligence on the part of the one who is handling the very delicate equipment or machines that are necessary, like the gamma knife, for example, in the case of a brain tumor? Absolutely. Well, it requires a lot of effort to drive a car 200 miles an hour around a track that's 1 mile in length. It's, you know, the Indianapolis 500. Try that sometime. Yeah, there are things that require lots of effort. And there are people that will spend their whole lives doing it. There are people that surf every day of their lives trying to get a title of being the best surfer in the Pacific. Okay. But it's nothing more than that, than God has allowed you, with the gifts that He has given you, to proceed in a direct line. But to say that I'm doing this. Remember Muhammad Ali? Everybody remembers Muhammad Ali. What does he say about himself? I'm the greatest. What happened to Muhammad Ali? What happened? He couldn't at the end even say, I'm the greatest. He couldn't form the words with his mouth. He had Parkinson's disease. Not every boxer gets Parkinson's disease, but the greatest, he got Parkinson's disease. So what I'm trying to say is that not because God was trying to make something out of this, but most of the time we don't know what happens to the people that are so boastful. We don't see them getting their comeuppance. We don't see what the true justice is. But going further, when it didn't succeed, the devil took him to a high mountain and said it showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Well, first of all, there is no mountain in... Well, first of all, the earth is curved. Okay, so that's number one. The earth is curved. You can't see around a curve. So the devil could not do this. But what the devil could do was produce phantasms. A mirage, something that appeared to be, but in fact wasn't. And the devil couldn't give him what he claimed he could, because the devil didn't own it and wasn't in possession of it in the first place. But just, I will do this. This is avarice. People want things. Now compare this to Adam and Eve, right? The first thing the devil said to them, well, yeah, God doesn't want you to eat that, because in the day that you eat that apple, you're going to be like he is. Oh, so through gluttony, they were going to become vainglorious, and then they would have the avaricious nature of somebody that can see the difference between this and that. It's put in respect of good and evil. But it means to be able to make discernments. And when you can make a good discernment, you can then accumulate to yourself, and you can push the bad stuff away, knowing the difference. The Lord, he wouldn't show the devil his glory. He wouldn't. He was content to show the devil his weakness. He only reminded the devil of what all had been taught, to listen to what the Lord himself has spoken. To listen to that, and to listen to nothing else but that. We've had a lot of very monumental news in the last 24 hours in the Middle East regarding Iran, and you should hear all of the people that have opinions. Boy, you should hear the opinions. You've heard the opinions, right? They're all jerks. All of them are jerks. They're paid to just get on there and blab. And the fact that you listen to them, it makes you a little lower than the jerk. The jerk at least is getting paid. You're listening for free and creating the numbers where the guy who's the biggest jerk will get paid the most. Don't do this anymore. We're fasting now. Turn your mind with respect to the Word of God and read the Bible. Open up the Bible and read deeply. Read for the soul that is going to thank you at the end of your days. You know, I remember my good friend, Abuna Antonius Hanayan, and he's dying, and he's in the hospital, and I'm visiting him. And I looked at him and I said, you know you're dying, right? He said, yes. I said, nobody else has said that to you, have they? He said, no, only you. And I said, okay, now I want you to tell me two things. First, what do you think of me? Because he's dying, right? You listen to what a dying man says, you better listen carefully. Right? Number two, I said, what do you wish you had done that you didn't do in your life and in your priesthood? And he said, if I had anything to do over again, I would pray more. I would pray more. And what do you pray with? A wish list of things that you don't have to the big butler in the sky? No, you pray because you've been taught to pray by seeing how the book of prayers is written for our instruction. You read the Psalms and you see what was petitioned, and you see the stories of the people and how they did what they did in order to achieve an outcome that was God-pleasing. Do this and live. Glory be to his holy name, both now and ever, in the age of all ages. Amen.